It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. So get your lollies and listen to Feckology.
Yeah, man. Go on, you go first.
Welcome to episode 3 of Feckology, the podcast that makes the unimportant seem important in a non-humorous or humorous way. That's up to the judgment of the listener. We don't say if it's funny or not. That's not up to us. How are you doing today, Trainer? I'm the Big Mouse. I should have said, how are you today, Trainer?
Very well, thanks. I'm marvelous, as I said at the start, and the bit we won't include.
Great. I am terrific. Should we just get straight into the topic today?
Let's get straight into the topic today. What is the topic today,
Big Mouse? The topic today. The Big Mouse is going to reveal the topic of today. It's over-friendly servers and waiters in restaurants, pubs, gastropubs, coffee shops, or what have you.
What have you indeed? Well, let's get into what we have. What do we have? What we had was someone who was an over-friendly server in a pub we visited a while back now, but it was a place up near Christchurch. I can't actually remember the name of the place.
Taylor's Hall.
There you go, Taylor's Hall. Shout out. And the minute we walked into the place, it was kind of... I arrived a bit earlier than you, but it was kind of this overbearing friendliness that makes you feel uncomfortable. And there was one particular offender who was the worst at this kind of level of overbearing friendliness, kind of almost overcompensating for maybe possibly not naturally being like that, but trying really hard to appear like that's their personality.
Yeah, and to give the listener the context, this was a fairly recently opened pub in the centre of Dublin. I think it's been open about a year or so. And we arrived in at lunchtime, and it was on a Saturday, and we were the only ones there to start off. I think we arrived at about 12 o'clock or so. And we sat down, and it was in this rustic old pub. And we noticed there was a bouncer outside. I thought that was a bit weird. So yeah. I thought, okay, maybe they're overdoing this. From that was sort of like my impression from the get-go.
Over-egging the pudding.
Yeah, bouncer. So yeah, at 12 o'clock on a Saturday. So we went in and we sat down. And then, yeah, there was this server there. And it won't be a character assassination of him. Well, it will sort of, but not really. But... I think before we get into what he did, the exact thing that he did, it's just, I think he thought he was making our experience better.
Yeah.
By being all friendly and cool. And
yeah.
Like he was sort of like that man vibe that we mentioned last week. How are you doing, man? Yeah, of course. Yeah. Take your time with, yeah, cool, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Take your time. Like,
so
try to make us feel like we're cool almost.
I know, like, yeah. Look, I don't want to feel cool when I'm in a pub. I just want to sit down and have, you know, pleasant but minimal interaction with the person serving and then, you know, get on with whatever I'm doing. But I've note here said, where I said that it's like they're trying to make you feel at ease while making you feel ill at ease.
I think that's a good way to describe it. I think there's only one way you can feel when somebody's trying to make you feel cool.
Yeah.
In some way, or trying to be all like you're one of the cool dudes in the pub. And he's a much younger gentleman than we are.
Yeah. I'd say a good, I'd say he's mid-20s or something. We're pushing 40 now. So,
yeah. He was in the Gen Z attire, like those kind of like baggy jeans and stuff that we don't understand anymore. that sort of dress code. And will we get to the offense?
Yeah. Get to the offense. Yeah. List the charges.
So he is in the dock for, we ordered 2 pints of Guinness. He goes over, gets the Guinness. I think this offense, he was only bringing 1 pint over at a time for some reason. So one of us must have ordered.
I already had a pint because I arrived before you.
Yeah. So you had your Guinness on the table and then I ordered a Guinness. And then he went up, got the bartender to pour the drink. I thought it's all going very smoothly. It's all very normal here. He's tried to make us cool, but we're just going to ignore him. And then he arrives over with a big sort of smug look on his face.
Oh, so self-satisfied.
Self-satisfied. And I couldn't believe my eyes. He had made his fist into sort of like a bum type of thing. Is that how you describe it? He'd scrunched up his index finger and his thumb and had that. He'd placed the pint of Guinness on top of that, and he was using his bum chin fist almost as like a tray to carry the Guinness.
Yeah, so he was carrying the Guinness on a fist in a kind of a weird ceremonial type of way that I'd never seen before and don't wish to see again.
And he brought it over, trying to be also casual. And it was like the way he took it off the fist, it was almost like he was like trying to say to himself, I've done that for you guys.
Yeah.
This is for you. And it was just a very strange experience.
Yeah, it was. And then like he was throwing in the man and the cool and the no worries. Take your time. It's no worries at all. I'll just check back in with you guys in like 10. We're like,
yeah, people like the pie. Yeah, the pie's pretty good, you know, yeah. Yeah, I'll just come back to you guys. And then he's bad at his job as well. He waits too long. He doesn't come back for a long time.
So we were there for like 15 minutes and we knew we wanted fish and chips within about a minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah, but he'd done this big ceremony. And we're pushing 40, so we were disgusted by this. The listener might say, what's the big deal? But we were absolutely disgusted. You were not a bartender, but you were
lounge
boy in your time. What would have happened in the pubs if you would have done that in the graduate pub?
I would have been arrested and thrown in jail.
at a minimum, you would have been tripped up and you would have lost your job, I think.
Yeah. But no, like,
Have had the mindset to have a smug look on your face. You might have tried it as a joke, but I don't think you would just decide upon yourself that I'm going to do this to try and improve people's experience.
It's funny you mentioned that job in the graduate. I don't mind mentioning it now because it's so long ago. But there was a bloke up there who used to be the manager, and he used to try to do a couple of things like that as well. Cool little moves, you know, when he was making a kind of a unusual drink, and he was making a hot whiskey one time. And this man was a horrible human being, like in general, but he was making a hot whiskey one time. And, you know, you put the cloves into the individual segments of the lemon in a hot whiskey. You put like 4 or 5 cloves in. And he was doing that, put the cloves in, made the hot whiskey, and then he tried to, there was a whole jar of cloves, like if you think of a large coffee jar, so like industrial sized clove jar, and he tried to do a little flip where he flipped the clove jar up into the air where it span around a few times, and then he caught it with his other hand, and he didn't catch it. So he's trying to do a Mr. Perfect with the towel type of thing, you know, or something like that.
And, catch it behind his back.
Yeah, well, not quite behind his back, but he was trying to throw it up at one hand, spin around a few times and catch it in the other hand, and he missed it. It broke all over the floor, and he turned around to one of the lounge staff, he's like, clean that up, and then walked off.
Oh, the ego.
I know.
The ego and abuse of power there. That's a good one.
But look, this lad, like he was over egging the pudding, as I said. He was trying to make us feel really comfortable. And it's kind of, but by making us feel uncomfortable, like probably not meaning to, but like it was so forced and it was so unnatural. Mm. And bringing the pint down on a fist, you're just kind of sitting there going, when is this interaction going to be over? And, you know, I felt like his presence lingering the whole time while we were having a pint. Couldn't really relax for like about an hour or so.
You know, he was like waiting to pounce on us again with more of this charade.
Yeah, theatrics.
I have another example of something similar to this, but do you have any other example of servers being over-friendly?
I have a couple of related points to make, but let's see how we're doing for time. And if we'll fit those in, we can talk about them. But go ahead with your other example.
Yeah, so this was a few years ago. I was having lunch with my wife, Liz, in a hotel called the Dillon Hotel. It's kind of a fancy boutique hotel. And it was in the middle of the summer in Dublin, and we were having a nice lunch outside. And who is the server? Only Matteo from First Dates Ireland.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
For the American listener, he is a C-list or D-list celebrity. He is the host and... What's the name of the person who brings people to the table?
The maitre d' or something like that?
Maitre d', yep.
or the host,
Maitre
perhaps.
D, he was the server, and I was completely shocked. And he was wearing this, he's a Croatian man, probably about 6'3". He has a nice skin. he's fair skinned. He's very nice, beautiful Croatian eyes. He's a beautiful man. And
nice skin.
Nice.
Like those fee-paying bastards.
And very charming, and he has a foreign accent.
Sorry, that's an in-joke there. Apologies.
Yeah. He's a very charming guy, and he came over to me and Liz, and he was doing his whole Matteo from First Dates thing in his blue suit that he always wears on the TV. Mm. He comes over and he's like, "Oh, hey, you, and he was saying something quasi flirtatious, but he was trying to get like
viewer to Liz.
He was sort of doing this, oh, he knows what he wants. Hey, oh, you're ordering the espresso martini. And I was just completely overwhelmed by it. I didn't know how to react. I was getting water in my eyes. I was blushing. I was, is he flirting with me? Is he flirting with Liz? But Liz loved it. She's like, oh, what a lovely man.
Oh, the old water in the eyes. Jesus, that takes me back.
Overwhelmed. I felt like less of a man because I couldn't understand him. I was supposed, like, the social contract was I was supposed to have a social back and forth.
Yeah, reciprocate.
I was supposed to say, yeah, I am that type of guy that orders that or something like that.
Something
or
funnier
I can
than
handle
that.
It. Yeah. I can handle this situation. But instead, funny, I did the whole funny. Smile. Yeah. I smiled and blushed. And I went out of that restaurant with my tail between my legs.
Oh, fuck.
Completely embarrassing. Another example of somebody trying to make you feel comfortable and trying to go across the line.
Yeah.
What actually makes you really, really uncomfortable.
It could be really stressful when you don't have the banter on tap, the exact banter that they're looking for in that situation. Like there's four or five types of banter that might be, you know, proffered by the server. Quick-wittedness, kind of theatrics, whatever the hell Matteo was doing. And like, you don't necessarily always have the quick-fire responses exactly fitting the banter that you've received from them. So yeah, I've experienced that before as well, where you just go really quiet and you don't know what to say.
Yeah, and then you're kind of judging yourself because you're as a man, I suppose, you're putting that pressure on yourself to be quick-witted.
Yeah.
But and then you're not.
You say something like, oh yeah, cheers. And then you feel like a real stuffy old git. You've ruined it then.
You've ruined the whole thing. He's waiting. He paused and waited for me to respond. But then he realized that I wasn't going to. So it became really awkward. And then he just kind of said, okay. And then he took the menus and went off. So you had a couple of other points.
It's a difficult one, yeah. It's like pubs now kind of greeting you at the door, right? This is another thing that happened, I think, during COVID, when you had to get, remember the whole substantial meal thing where you had to eat in a pub, you had to have a substantial meal.
Yeah.
For listeners who aren't from Ireland, I'm sure you might have had variants of it in your countries, your respective countries. But basically, when you were, during COVID, when they opened back up the pubs, you had to have a substantial meal. This is a term that was used by the government. It was never defined, of course, but it had to be had to cost at least €7. I think, or €9, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Some arbitrary figure on how much it should cost. But yeah, you had to have a substantial meal in the pub that cost at least €9, let's go with that. And then you had to be out of the pub in an hour and a half, right? So these were the rules at the time. And it was weird. And somebody would greet you at the door. You had to be seated. It was all like restaurants. And that was understandable at the time because no one had the fucking clue what they were doing. You had to wear a mask up to the door. When you were inside, you could take off your mask. I think you had to wear your mask when you were going to the toilet and all this sorts of mad shit. But anyway, we covered that at length on the feckin' check-in years ago. Then after COVID, pubs seem to have kept this kind of feature. So I'm talking about pubs where you go for a pint. So last night, I have a clear example of this. I went to the Ginger Man. I know you know that pub, as we've been there ourselves before. And they're doing this whole thing. We went down after work because a colleague of mine was leaving work, taking a month off and gone abroad and stuff. And we went for a few drinks after work and we got to the door of the pub and there's this person greeting you there. And just like, how many of you are there? As a girl greeting us. And we were just like, four, but there might be six. And he's like, okay, and are you dining with us today? And you're kind of going, no, thanks. We just want to have pints. And they're like, Oh, that's fine. Hold on a second. And then you're looking through kind of a booking system and like lists, and you're like, hold on a second. Like a few years ago, this was a pub you could walk into off the street. And maybe they think that this extra little greeting is kind of an extra little bit of service. And I was sitting down at the table ranting about this after we'd sat down. And it was Maya, actually. Sorry. Maya, my former housemate, who was going to Africa for a month. And she was like, oh, Jesus, I've forgotten how you are. She's like, I'm getting there. Like, what's that thing you get? Like post-traumatic stress from this? Like, just taking the piss because I used to rant about things quite a lot. But I was like, no, it's
like
ridiculous.
Larry David.
Yeah, but like, why does somebody need to greet me at the door? And then you feel like a second-class citizen because you're not having food. And like, it's this layer of service that's unnecessary and not required. Like, I can go in and find a seat myself and sit down, or I can stand at the bar. I could just stand with a pint. You used to be able to do this in a pub, just stand with a pint. But no. A lot of pubs are doing this now since COVID. They've kept this extra little bit of service, in inverted commas, held it over and, you know, implemented it now as a kind of a, it's a thing that's happening. So whether you like it or not. And you're like ushered in, you're sitting down, they're like telling you it's okay not to have food. You're like, that's great. But like, I've eaten already and I'll eat again, but I'm not eating now. I'm going here for a pint. And it's just this kind of uncomfortable thing where...
It's okay that you made the decision not to have food. It's okay. I won't judge you too much.
Exactly.
Okay, I'll let it go.
And then you're kind of just sitting there going, oh, this is just unnecessarily uncomfortable now. And it's like you feel like you couldn't sit in another seat then if you wanted to. Like back in the old days when you could just sit wherever you wanted in a pub, you've got your table. And it's just like, this is unnecessary. I noticed this in pubs in the US when I was over there on multiple occasions, where you go into what seems like a pub from the outside, but then like it's either sit down and have food or else sit up at the bar and drink. But you can't sit down at a table or seats and have food. And a lot of places are going like that now. Or sorry, you can't just sit down at a table with seats at it and just drink.
And have
like,
a pint.
And
it's relaxing
bizarre.
To have pint, like have a table for your pints. Like obviously that's what you want to do.
That's what
is
you want.
Leave your pints on the table. Not be like shunted over to the side somewhere.
Yeah. And then there was another example of this I have. So it was in, you know, the Horse and Hound pub. In Cavendish, and me and Elaine were in there one day having a drink, and they weren't doing all of this theatric nonsense. Now, in fairness, you could just sit down and you could have a pint or whatever. But there was this couple sitting directly in front of us, and we were looking directly at them, like they were facing one another, but we were facing them, if you know what I mean. And they just wanted to have a couple of drinks, and this woman came down and she's like, "And will you be having food?" And they're like, "We might have food a bit later." And they were like, she was like, "Okay," and then she came back about 20 minutes later, and she was like, "Can I get you some menus?" They're like, "Yeah, no, it's all right. We might have food a bit later." And she's like, "No worries." Came back about 15 minutes later, not joking. "And have you chosen any? Would you like to have any food?" And they were kind of giving us the side glance of like, "This is fucking ridiculous," and we were just kind of laughing between ourselves. And they were like, "No, we'd like to have a couple of drinks, and then we'll get some food." As in, they wanted 3 or 4 pints or glasses of wine or whatever, and then they were going to order food. And then she came down again. And
oh,
we
my
were just
God.
Like,
fourth
fuck?
Time.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And they were like, "Look," and it got kind of confrontational then. It was like, "Look, we'll tell you when we want to have food. You don't need to keep coming checking on us." And she went off then in a huff, and they were kind of like put out by the whole thing, as you would be, because, you know, it was insane.
Yeah.
And they were turning around to us going, Are we insane, or is this ridiculous? Like, no. We're like, no. We've been watching this whole thing unfold. Like, this is nonsense. I don't know what our problem was.
We're and living then, in a different world now, aren't we? Because you used to be able to go into a bar and do exactly what that couple wanted to do. You could have as many drinks as you want, and you'd just grab a menu and you'd go up to the bar and you'd order yourself whenever you were ready, and that seemed to work fine.
Or you'd catch somebody walking around who looked like they might be serving food, and you'd ask them if you could order some food, and everything was fine with that system. And I don't know why they've just gone and fucked it up now. It just doesn't make any sense. But they eventually did order food, had food, and then it came to ordering a coffee, and we were still sitting there watching this, and we were interacting with them now. We were having a laugh with them about the whole thing. And your one ordered a coffee, and she said, "Could she get a one shot espresso?" And now, in fairness, that's not really a common thing to order in a pub, right? You might get it in, you know, Costa or, you know, wherever. But what the woman who was serving didn't understand what she was asking for. So she brought the woman down a half a cup of coffee in a transparent glass, like you get an Irish coffee in or something. And she was like, and your one was like, "Sorry, I'm not sure what this is." She's like, Well, you said one shot, and she's like, I know, but like, I just wanted a one shot espresso. And it looked like she'd made like an instant coffee, filled it halfway up out of confusion and didn't actually know what to bring her. But I'd say she didn't ask her to clarify it because there was so much hostility between them after all this
There
fucking
was so much,
palaver
yeah.
going on for the last couple of hours. But there you go.
That
Anyway.
is ridiculous. It is ridiculous what's going on out there with all of these servers trying to do their best, trying to make experiences better for you, but obviously making you feel, as you said earlier, ill at ease. And that brings us up nearly towards the end. So do you have any concluding comments on these servers?
I think, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it, in terms of, you know, greeting me at the door of a pub where I just want to go and have a pint. That's, you know, that's unnecessary. And the fist pints thing, well, that was just an abomination. I don't know. I can't draw any conclusions to that. I was just like, if you're doing it, just stop it.
That's a good way to summarize things. I completely agree with that. If you're doing it, just stop it. That is being over friendly when you're serving. Just give people the space and be professional. Don't be overly friendly. Don't be flirtatious, if possible, especially not to me. And yeah, chill out and it'll all be okay. You don't have to overdo it. So
there we go.
Fecology episode numero trois. I just did two different languages there.
Multi-language there.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you want to say anything about it? We've had some fan interactions. Do you want to say anything about that before we go?
Yeah.
Or listener interactions, I should say.
We've
fan interaction sounds very egotistical, doesn't it?
It is rather egotistical, yeah.
Right.
No, we have a Fecology Twitter account set up now. It's at Fecology. And we will interact with people there if you wish to give any feedback. We got some nice comments from people who were like saying, glad to see you back. For reference there, we used to have previous podcasts, The Feck and Check-In and Open Us and other ones over the years, which we removed from the feed because it was very cluttered. But if there's any appetite for those, we might put them back up. But that's it, really. I think we have about 5 followers on Twitter. So, you know, don't make us look ridiculous. Give us an L follow there and we will reciprocate by engaging with anyone who wishes to engage with us.
Correct. Very good. Enjoy the rest of your week, listener, and we'll see you for episode 4.
All right.
Yeah, there you go. Andy.
Was that any good?
It was brilliant.
Was it? Okay.
It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with Feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with Feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. So get your lollies and listen to Feckology.
Was that any good?